Happy Halloween, everybody. DGS and Camo X 2021 DGS Halloween special. We believe it's the 20th one that we've done. You kind of lose count. Gosh, I've been to the Limp Mansion. I have been to the McPike Mansion. I've been to the Exorcist House. I've been to the Sally House, which you're going to hear more about at 6 p.m. We're going to replay you a one-hour version of the Sally House, which was 2019. This year, the team and I, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, went to Jefferson Barracks Park in St. Louis County, which is, as the crow flies, maybe a quarter mile from Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery. It has a very, very long, very storied history there, the military and dignitaries coming through. And it also has a very, very long history of ghost stories. I had not heard these stories. And so we were talking to JD, who kind of runs the place, and Mark, who is the curator slash historian. And we interviewed the guys just to get a feel. Where are we? How long has it been here? What was it used for? And then got into a little more of the ghost aspect of it. Then we went on a tour. And as I always do, I had some of my team go into some of these places on their own, mic'd up with a lavalier microphone and a camera. And there is a video to go along. Rach, how do people see the video if they want
to
see it?
Go to KMOX.com/Halloween. It should be up now.
Yes. Don't be scared. This is before I lost my 15 pounds. We have tried to be exceptionally respectful, because while this is not the cemetery, it is right next to the cemetery, and I have relatives buried there, and we did not in any way, shape, or form want to offend anyone. So this is a little bit different Halloween show than we've done. It's spooky, don't get me wrong, but it's also quite historic, and you're going to learn a lot. So whether you're listening to this live and it's a perfect day for it, blustery and gloomy out there, or you're listening to a podcast, you're sitting next to a fire with a hot toddy, enjoy. Rach, let's start with cut one and hear the gentleman talk about the history of Jefferson Barracks.
All right, guys, we're here with JD and Mark. Fellas, can you just kind of introduce yourselves and tell us what you do here at the park?
I'm JD Magarani. I'm the cultural site manager. So I oversee the military historic sites for St. Louis County, which is Jefferson Barracks, the General Dunn and Bissell House, and Fort Bell Fountain.
Yeah, Mark Kohlbaum. I was curator here for 25 years to the day, and retired, and then came back about a year and a half ago.
So obviously we're here to do a Halloween show, and we've been to 20 different places and all have their own unique histories. And typically for something to even be thought about as haunted, it's going to have some history, and it's going to have some pain, it's going to have some trauma, some death. Certainly Jefferson Barracks qualifies for that. So let's just start out at the beginning, square one. When was Jefferson Barracks first implemented?
July 10th, 1826 is basically when the troops came here first. Stephen Watts Kearney was the commander of the group that came. They would have stopped in what's now Sylvan Springs Park, where the creek was, and that's when the post was established. That was originally called Cantonment Miller, mm-hmm. I believe. And it didn't get the name Jefferson Barracks until the fall of the year, but it earned the name Jefferson Barracks because both John Adams and Thomas Jefferson died on July 4th of 1826. And when Adams was passing away, when he was his last breath, he says, well, I guess Jefferson survives. He didn't know that Jefferson actually died 4 hours earlier.
Oh, my gosh. I had
because they hated one another.
Oh, that's fascinating.
They were hating each other.
So do we know what was here before, what the land was used for?
It was a French village that was connected to Carondelet, and the area was referred to as vide poche, which means empty pockets. It's where the poorest of the poor French people that lived in this area would have stayed. It was held in common so that it was assigned to other families, and this was just common property that they shared, is there?
Yeah.
Were there any big changes between 1826 and the Civil War with Jefferson Barracks?
Well, it grew and grew. I mean, but troops went out from Jefferson Barracks and fought in every conflict that the United States was involved in 1832 in the Black Hawk War, which was up in northern Illinois and Wisconsin, and then 1846, the Mexican War, and then they all, I hate to say it, but they went out and fought the Indians.
Here locally, even?
Here locally, absolutely. And you even find like if we were to go over to the Veterans Memorial Amphitheater, when they dug that out, there was always a rumor that there were caves or tunnels that went to all the different powder magazines. And when they dug that out, the St. Louis County, in its infinite wisdom, had put a garbage dump there. And they had to dig down about 20 feet. And there was an opening about 4 by 4. Mm-hmm. It took a 15-foot extension ladder to go down, and there were the beginnings of tunnels to all the powder magazines under there.
That's in case the Indians attacked
and you could get out.
So Winfield Scott was here. Were all of the big, like Longstreet and Grant and Sherman, did they all do time here?
Absolutely. There are approximately 200 Civil War generals that served at Jefferson Barracks before they were generals in the Civil War.
Wow.
For both sides.
Yeah, because they all fought in Mexico together and then came back and fought each other in the Civil War, basically.
Yeah, a lot of them did.
Yeah.
Mexican War was kind of the training ground for the Civil War.
Yes.
But Lee, Longstreet, Jefferson Davis, J.D. mentioned the 1st Dragoons that were formed here. He was the adjutant of the 1st Dragoons. Got promoted from 2nd Lieutenant to 1st Lieutenant.
Huh. So a lot of the relationships that would really inform the Civil War and afterwards were formed here.
Were formed here.
By a bunch of young guys.
Oh, yeah. And it's, I used to tell kids, school kids, when they'd come in, you know, a lot of things you had to know. But I said, if you were fighting, you maybe had been friends with the opposing commander. You knew what his tendencies were.
Yeah.
So that's one thing you really wanted to know. Who's in command of those troops? Because you probably served with him.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're learning things already. Jefferson Barracks was established in 1826. I didn't know this. Maybe you guys did. But before that, it was a French settlement where the poorest of the French settlers lived. They had real fights with the Native Americans. And if you've ever seen a horror movie, you know that so much of the origin is this kind of stuff. Like, well, who lived here? What kind of pain did they go through? Did anyone ever die here? Were there ever any violence? And so certainly there was here at Jefferson Barracks. Also, pay special attention. You talked about the Black Hawk Wars. Black Hawk, the Native American leader, is going to play some part in the DGS Halloween show this evening. And our own Andrew may have a little to say about that later on. Rachel, let's play cut 2 where the guys get into the ghost stories.
Moving to ghosts and paranormal and things like that, do we have any indication that while it was an operating barracks, that there were any stories during the 1800s, 1900s, or is this more of a modern thing where people like us in this age will say, oh, we see things, we hear things, or were there stories all the way through?
There were stories all the way through.
Tell me about it.
I mean, one of them is right at the gate that you probably came in. If you came in the north gate over here, even though it wasn't necessarily a north gate right there, they say that the second lieutenant, Charles May, ended up fighting a duel right at the entrance to the reservation with another second lieutenant who's unnamed and met his end there. And if you go down to the front gate where they fought this duel, to this day, you see Lieutenant May. You go up and get to the Civil War time period and up at the Powder Magazine Museum, which was a powder magazine built in 1856. And the story goes that there was a man serving up there as a guard, because that's where you have your black powder and other armaments. And he is to walk the exterior of that building and make sure it's secure. And they say that there were Confederates across the river, and they crossed the river. He got shot, and he has continued to walk his post to do his duty ever since. And from the end of the Civil War up through World War II, they say if you go up there on certain nights, you can see him still walking his post, trying to do his duty. And if you look very close, he has a hole right in the middle of his forehead. The blood's coming down across his face. During World War II, at the beginning, this was the Army Air Corps' first basic training center, and that they would send recruits up there to walk the exterior of the building. And they would run across this Civil War soldier, still doing his duty, walking his post. And he scared the you-know-what out of a lot of them. They said that several of them just threw down their guns, ran off, and they never saw him again. They were AWOL. There's some others up on the post where if you go, that would have been the 1890s, and you go along there and the guy was walking by the administration building, number one Grant Road, and he happened to look in the window and he saw a solitary figure in there sitting at a desk. And he had a candle lantern on one side and he had a Confederate general's uniform on. And he was writing out, speculating, orders of the day with a quill pen. And then the guy kept looking, and he said he got up and he extinguished the candle and walked over towards the door but neglected to open it, just walked right on through.
Mm. And when was this reported?
It was first reported in the late 1890s during the, probably around the Spanish-American War time period, 1898.
Yeah.
And it's been reported numerous times since, clear through that I know of the 1970s.
Okay, so there's our basic history. It's like getting a good meal before you're out drinking. There's our base. And remember, for those of you who are into this and into the ghosts and goblins and paranormal, we are literally the first people ever to go into any of these buildings with the purpose of doing some sort of a ghost hunt. No one has ever done it. Quick break, right back with more of the DGS 2021 Halloween special. DGS, we are presenting to you our night. So this was Trisha's first Halloween show. I wanted to throw her in the deep end of the water, so we put her in the nurse's quarters before anyone else by herself, and we're going to play that for you now.
So I'm on the second floor in the sun porch because I guess this is the ritual. I do not freaking like this and don't want to walk down the hall, and I'm not even kidding. Like, I might even start crying. I don't like it. You guys, I swear, if somebody is still in here, I will punch you. Seeing the mannequin's cool at the end. Not. I'm scared one of you guys is down here. This is not fun by yourself. I forgot where their room was. Oh my God. I'm really scared you guys are in there waiting for me. Okay, I'm downstairs in what used to be the kitchen, and then the next room is the room I did not like. And if somebody is in here, I am going to scream so loud, please do not be in here. Oh God, I don't like this room. Like, there's that one room, like the cell room, I don't like that much, and then that next dark room, it's just like really heavy in there. Okay, I'm gonna like run through this part. All right, I am coming out. I don't like this. I did not like that.
Made it.
I have fingernail marks in my arm because I thought you guys were going to scare me.
No, we wouldn't
did
do that.
Did anything happen, maybe, or just the anticipation of us scared?
You didn't like hear anything in there.
No, in the one room I just like heard a rustle, so I thought somebody was in there.
Oh, nope.
And I ran.
So did you hear it?
Yeah, that weird,
yeah.
What was that?
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't hear that at the time when I was in the room.
Yeah.
But I'm just hearing it now.
Yeah. So we had lots of technical difficulties, which our engineer couldn't explain. You'll hear that coming up in the next hour. But we only caught one EVP, which is electronic voice phenomenon, which is basically in the paranormal world when you, a lot of times ghost hunters will go into a room. We've done this like at the Sally House. Mm-hmm. We'll go in and say, like, is there anyone here? Do you want to say anything? And in past shows, we picked things up and it sounds like voices or this and that. This one was really subtle, but this was really creepy. So we just isolated the 10 seconds where this happens. Trish, I don't have any idea where you were during this time.
I think I now know because I think, okay, so imagine walking in a room, but it's three parts of a room. There's a frame built out almost to where there was a big door. Do you know what I'm, I don't know if I'm explaining that right. Do you know the part I'm talking about?
I think there was
the kitchen part.
Yes.
The next part, and then the saddle room.
Yes. Yeah, it was almost like a shotgun style apartment.
Yes, mm-hmm. but there's a frame built out. Yes.
So I think that's where you were.
That middle part, when we first walked in there, was so heavy. I can't explain it. It was, there were no lights on. It was really, really dark. And when I walked through there, I told you guys, this is just so heavy. It was almost like oppressive. The air was heavy. And I think that's where that sound was.
So remember all the history, all the stories, and no one has ever been there officially doing a ghost hunt or really caring about the paranormal stuff. Believe it, don't believe it, but if you believe it, you have someone walking through for the first time in forever for that purpose, and then this happens when Trish was in that room.
Okay, I'm downstairs.
Oh!
You hear that, Andrew?
It was like someone was whistling.
Yeah, or like, I don't know, like something moving. You know what I mean? Like a creaking.
Like something mechanical?
Oh, yeah.
Or just like something creaking even, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, I only heard whistling, but you're right. It could be like old-timey wheels turning.
Mm-hmm. But I think I'm almost positive I was in the bottom area, and that, if I wasn't in that middle room, then I'm next to the room with the saddles and
the cadaver
carrier.
Yeah. So I'm completely making this up, but could that be because military people have codes? And I know when we landed in Normandy, they had these little clicker things. And if someone doesn't answer you in the right way and passwords, I'm just wondering if they ever had whistles.
Oh,
like this is the whistle to say I'm on your side. This is the whistle to do this or to retreat. So listen to it again. This is when Trish was in the nurse's quarters by herself, walking through the room that scared her the most.
Okay, I'm downstairs.
Pretty good.
If I would have heard that at that time,
she would have been out of there.
I would have probably just sat down and cried.
What does that do to you now?
I mean, I literally have chills. Like, who was following me through that entire thing? Ugh.
Pretty crazy. Quick break, right back. DGS Halloween special. Welcome back, guys. DGS. So we have taken you through the history of Jefferson Barracks, the ghost stories, the traumatic events that happened. We have taken you through the nurse's quarter with Trish. We played for you the EVP that we picked up, which I think sounds like someone whistling. Other people are saying it sounds like a boatsman's whistle. The magazine, the powder magazines, are the scariest buildings to JD and Mark. They're the ones that they said you could not pay us enough to stay in that place overnight. So of course I put Rachel in there by herself, and it's a big area. It's about the size, I would say, of a basketball court, maybe bigger, full of these creepy mannequins and lots of history. This is the building that for 100 years or more, people have seen a Civil War soldier walking around the perimeter, because there was definitely a soldier who was walking around the perimeter, a Union soldier, and someone crossed the Missouri River there and shot him in the head. That we know is true. And people have been seeing him since then. So this is the sound of Rach inside.
That was so weird. My phone lit up, but I didn't have any notifications, and it was in my back pocket. That's really weird. What is that? What is that? Okay. light keeps coming on. It's not my phone. In the back. It's probably nothing, but it keeps... Okay, focus on something else, Rach. Walking down the right-hand side, the light just came on again. I don't know what that's about. I don't know what that light is. It's on again. Oh, I'm so disoriented. Okay. I'm putting that light out of my mind. Oh my God. I feel like I just saw something move in front of me. My mission is to walk down the right side of the gap. Oh my God. Okay. My mission is to... Okay. Turning on the flashlight. I know that... Okay. Did you guys hear that? Thump in the back of the room. Oh my God. You're hearing this, right? I really want to turn off my flashlight because I want to like do this properly, but that's not happening. I have 9% battery. I have actually been, I'm notoriously stupid and don't charge my phone all day and forgot to charge my phone before the, something is, that's not the building settling. That's like pounding on the ceiling or on the wall or like a thump or someone walking. And there's mannequins in uniforms everywhere, and you don't know where they are, so you round a corner, and it's super scary. I heard another bang. My eyes were playing so many tricks on me. Walking up to the little office in front, I don't know why, but this is freaking me out. Hearing things, going back into my little room here. There's a curtain, I'm gonna pull back the curtain. Okay, nothing back here. So I'm back to where I started, at the very back, and I'm gonna turn off my flashlight, and I'm gonna walk. And then I'm going outside. Okay. 3, 2, 1, flashlight off. It's so dark. There's, up ahead I see another exit sign. I'm like I just walked into something. I'm cringing my way down the length of the building. These mannequins in the dark are not cool. Okay, I don't know if I can make it. I just turned my light back on. I made it like halfway. It's just too creepy. You guys let me know if I can walk out or... Okay, I just got a text from Dave. He said I can leave. Bye.
Okay, so a couple things. I wanted to jump in there, but I didn't want to mess it up. When you hear her audio going in and out, that's not your radio. That's not us. That's what happened that night. And Sam was our engineer there that night. We're using his equipment. And you notice that it never happened when Trish was in the nurse's quarters. It never happened when she and I were in the garage. But as soon as Rach goes in, it starts doing that.
And I would also like to say... Sam was closer to her than he was to me in the nurse's quarter or us in the...
And he said there's nothing about that that should have made that happen. Mm-hmm. Also, there are no EVPs in there. I hear stuff bumping like crazy.
Yeah.
Like there's one time, especially when you said you heard that right, where it was just straight up like... big bump or a big slam.
I remember getting frustrated with myself while we were recording because I was trying to narrate and I was too scared to talk a lot of the time. And you hear me go like, well, and then I just stop for seconds at a time because I was just frozen. It was insanely creepy.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. We're going to go one more segment after this because there are a couple of stories we didn't think that we would have time to tell, and I think they need to be told. They're pretty cool. So we have taken you through the history of Jefferson Barracks, the history of the ghost stories, the traumatic events, the nurses' quarters, the powder magazine, the dungeon, root cellar, whatever you want to call it, where Andrew just was, and people have been calling in and tweeting in and telling their stories about when they had when they were posted out of Jefferson Barracks. It's pretty much everyone has a story. It's one of the most haunted places I've ever heard in the consistency. I literally, for a couple hundred years, people have been talking about seeing apparitions, like full-bodied Civil War soldiers that look just like people. Then they'll walk through a wall. So it seems that the money shot of the show seems to be this whistle, grinding, piping sound that we hear as an EVP when Trish was going through that. You guys want to hear it again? So here is what we picked up. Now, Trish didn't hear this with her natural ears. You would have heard her react. You would probably have heard her cry. But this is what we picked up when we went through and listened to the sound.
Okay, I'm downstairs. Okay, I'm downstairs.
So our hosts there that night were JD, who kind of runs the whole place, Jefferson Barracks, been there for decades, and Mark, who spent like 30 years as the historian and curator and then came back, were telling stories, and they were telling a story about actually seeing a ghost on one of their outings, so we wanted to bring that for you here.
How about the two of you, gentlemen? What have you experienced, if anything, since you guys have been here? Spooky stuff, paranormal stuff.
Well, I don't know if I should say this, really, because we were telling ghost stories, which we do every year, but we were done. And the only light came from these candle lanterns that we put out. And when everybody's gone, it's pretty dark. And we were just kind of sitting there talking, three or four of us, and somebody came walking down the hill and started walking along the path that comes up here. And I tried very nicely to say, you know, that's kind of dangerous. It's dark. You can't see where you're going. And if you fall, I said, I'm going to have to fill out all sorts of paperwork. And no reply. Now he's walking probably 20 feet from where I am. And you notice that he's not really walking. He's kind of floating above the stones. And he just kept going, and he got just past the side of the building, and there used to be a door over there, but it hasn't been there since I've been here. And he just kind of made a right-hand turn and went right into the building.
How well could you see him? Could you describe
him? Oh, I could see him as well as I can see the young ladies back there.
What did he look like?
He looked like somebody who was probably in his, you know, as you get older, everybody looks a lot younger.
Yeah.
But I would say he probably looked like he was in his 50s or 60s.
What did that do to you?
Well, I just sat there and I went, whoa, this is a little scary. And I walked over then, well, all of us did, and there was nothing there.
Yeah.
But we all saw it.
Wow.
So that scared me. I mean, these two guys, you're like real grown men. They're not paranormal investigators. They're not a part of a ghost show. And they saw a ghost, like a real straight up ghost, like 50 feet from where we were sitting at that time. That was really something. And then Andrew and Rach, you said that the guys were telling a story when Trish and I were inside the garage.
Yeah, so this was like the thing that probably scared me most the whole night. When you guys were in there, he's just kind of idly, you know, he was talking kind of off the record because it's not as confirmed of a story as a lot of the other ones, but he was telling the story about this kid who, I guess he had some deformities or something in the, you know, apocrypha of the story, and the other kids made fun of him, and this kid who was a little, you know, he had a little disturbed in the head, if you will, he, like, killed one or two of the other kids with, like, just beat them to death with, like, rocks and things, and then he fled supposedly into basically where you guys were currently.
Oh.
Yeah.
That would have been nice to know.
And, like, they never, he just kind of, like, disappeared into the tunnels, and they never, like, where that manhole led to, and, like, disappeared into the tunnels, and they never found him again. And, you know, people would say that they saw him every now and again, just, you know, popping up or whatever. And he's like, that's why I won't go in that garage for more than 30 seconds. And I was like, oh, great. Cool. That's terrifying.
Mm, and that's where we were.
And that's where we were.
That's yeah. where you guys were at that moment.
I think like, that's interesting that, you know, not trying to just pull stuff out of my butt, but interesting that all that stuff was happening to Trish and I while he was telling that story.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. Well, you're kind of the star of the show this year, Trish. Thoughts?
Unintentionally. Just hearing that noise back, I'm really glad I didn't hear it at the time, because I really feel, and I felt at the time that I was feeling something, but then I'm like, oh, you're just doing that because you're in the scary place and they left you alone. So I was trying to tell myself I wasn't feeling what I was feeling, but now hearing that, I'm convinced there was something in there.
We had a really interesting call from a horse person, the person who owns and works with horses their whole life, who said that that whistle is exactly the kind of whistle that a rider uses to tell his horse to do something.
And you, I was right by
in the
saddle.
Yes, you were in the saddle room.
That's crazy.
So that's the best call we had all day.
Wow.
So we were, and I'd already mentioned that the cavalry was invented at Jefferson Barracks, and we had some of the first saddles ever. So put that in your mind and think about Trish is going through there. She's the first person ever to walk through there by herself, and this happens.
Okay, I'm downstairs.
Happy Halloween.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.